Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. I am MC Money, joined by Certain, the Creepy Soccer Dad, and Big Papa Houts. And we are here with you live tonight, as we always are every Tuesday evening or sometimes Wednesday. And we have a fun show tonight. We are going to rank the top three Dolphins of all time. Yes, that is right, the top three Dolphins of all time. We could have done top five. We could have done top seven. We could have done top 10. We could have done top 20, top 50. But no, we are doing top three. We are going to make it very hard on ourselves. And I have been ringing this through my head over the last few weeks. Past few weeks, meaning the past 24 hours, of who I would put in my top three. And it's very hard. And I'm going to be talking out loud on the air before we make our final list. And what we'll do is this. We will narrow down our top three for each of us from top five. We'll have a top five. Then we'll narrow it down to top three. From that point, we will then talk out loud to each other as opposed to whispering or texting each other while there's dead silence on the air. And then we will come to a consensus. We'll each have our top number one guy. And then we'll come to a consensus number two guy. And then we'll put up the question up on Twitter and we'll put it up on our Finsider Radio Live there. And we'll have you guys vote and we'll see who is the top three. Fans' opinion as well after it, because that is what we do here on Finsider Radio. We bring the show to you, the fans, because without the fans, we'd be absolutely nothing. And by fans, I mean all seven of you listening. Yes, that's right. We are increasing our listenership up from three from previous weeks. We are now up to seven. And of course, we thank all of our loyal listeners.
Certain moving up.
Certain the Soccer Dad, I heard you had a very interesting day at work today. In terms of being able to do whatever the hell you wanted, because when the boss is away, the mice will play. Is that how it goes? Or when the cat's away, the mice will play? And according to you, the cat was away today. Is that correct?
Yeah, the cat was away, so the tweeters will play. And I was happy. You see what I did there? Yeah, so I opened up my tweeter about 9:30 in the morning this morning, and I saw that Andre Branch had retweeted some game film that I did of his. So got my tweeter off to a good start today, man. What about you guys?
Big Papa House, how was your cooking today for the elderly?
Yeah, I was going to say, I actually had to do some work and I had to clean up some flank steak and marinate it. So that was fun. Keep the troops in line. Sutton, how upset are you that you didn't join Twitter sooner and when your boss was out of town, you weren't on there, you know, tweeting?
Well, you know, I kind of like that everyone is going before me, so I can just – you guys have done all the hard work, like accumulating all those followers, and then you guys just say, like, oh, hey, you should follow Sutton. So then I come in and collect all your followers. So it's been pretty easy so far because you guys are doing all the hard work. But – I haven't had my first game experience on Twitter yet, so I think that's really going to be the defining moment for me is
all the
information that comes out during the game, during Twitter, can I ignore it? You know, what do I do? So, I haven't really thought about it yet.
It's not just the game experience. It's when shit, like, goes real bad and goes down south real fast where you'll see people turn real quick and Tannehill, he's out there. They're leaving him high and dry. They're ready to crucify him. I mean, it gets real ugly. I mean, everything's fine and dandy now. You think there's some people that hate Tannehill, but as soon as that game goes bad or he does something wrong, I mean, it gets freaking ugly.
Twitter is the absolute worst during football. No matter what fan base you're part of, you can say Dolphins Twitter is a absolute dumpster fire, and it is during the season.
But I love them.
That goes for every fan base. And my rule of thumb, Sutton, is I do not go on Twitter during the games because the overreaction from everybody. I mean, I've seen it where the Dolphins go 3 and out on their first drive, and Dolphins Twitter is just trashing the entire team.
Ready to cave. Fire everybody.
People are burning their jerseys after the Dolphins go 3-and-out the first drive, and it's just an absolute mess.
I can only imagine. I can't wait
until the Dolphins start playing. And even in preseason, it's the overreaction is absolutely insane. Whether someone does good or bad, it's going to be absolutely amazing for you to witness this firsthand. And I wish we could sit together and watch the first game of this, and then have a Twitter displayed up on a big screen in live time, and you see all the tweets coming in and I want to see the reaction. So maybe you can FaceTime me during
week
that first
three.
Game. Yeah,
we have to make sure we unblock everybody. So like I want the Jordan McGee's. I need all the crap.
Yeah.
Do you think we could make that work?
It's gonna be amazing. It's gonna be absolutely amazing. All right. So if you wanna call in to Finsider Radio, please don't, because we have a lot to talk about. No, I'm just kidding. We will take your calls for 5 minutes tonight from 9:45 to 9:50. 347-326-9461. 347-326-9461. Interact with us if you'd like. Interact with us on the live thread. We have our loyal live thread listeners, Alpha Daytona Dolphin. I don't know if anyone else is in there. Actually, Nash Max made an appearance in there, so that was nice. Oh, no, Alpha quote mine. And, Daytona Dolphin, Alpha 6, our loyal listeners, Rob Dibbles, whatever his name is, the guy on Twitter who is absolutely has no filter.
Great guy.
If you're listening,
immediately, call in.
If you're listening, Robert, just put a tweet out saying you're listening, and we may or may not retweet you. And, Rob Carruth, I haven't gotten a question from him today, so I'm a little upset, Rob. Actually, 2 hours ago, just kidding, Rob. I think he's asked the same question for the past 5 weeks and we just haven't answered. So maybe we'll answer his tonight. And Esteban Sobrero is another one of our loyal listeners. And of course, mom, dad, and my wife as well. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Absolutely. Let's get started on our top list. So here's what we're going to do, boys. We're going to rank five or top six. If you're having trouble narrowing down to just five, oh my God, our lines are blowing up. We will get to you callers at 9:45, which is about 8 minutes from now. Just stay on hold. We'll be back in 8 minutes. But, man, those lines are killing it right now.
Just answer them. Screw it.
You want to answer them right now? All right, let's bring on the first caller. 815-312. Blah, 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 blah. Welcome to Finsider Radio, area code 815. Who are you and what can we help you with?
My name's Keith.
How are you?
Hey, Keith.
What's up, Keith?
I've been a Dolphin fan since 1970. I went to every game for 10 straight years. I'm a diehard fan. I like what they've done so far, but I don't understand why they're not addressing the backup center position with Mangold and why they're not looking for another defensive tackle. It doesn't make sense to me. They've got a good team, but they have two glaring weaknesses, and there are players out there they can sign. I don't get it.
Okay, so you're saying the backup center position and the backup tackle position, correct?
Right, and maybe the backup tackle could. I'm not a big fan of Phillips. To me, he's on and off. I'm just not that impressed. They need somebody alongside Sue that can play.
He's talking defensive tackle, not offensive tackle.
Okay,
defensive
All right,
tackle
Keith.
And offensive guard slash center.
All right, Keith, we're going to answer your question.
Two biggest weaknesses on the team right now that there are players out there that they can sign right now for not real expensive that will help the team. I don't get it.
All right, Keith. Keith is upset. So we're going to put Keith on.
He is freaking livid.
Keith, we're going to keep you on a line. We keep all of our callers on a line. We do put our callers on mute so we can answer the question. But Keith is very upset, and we're going to help Keith calm down. This is the therapy that I talked about a few weeks ago. When you want to call in and just vent to us, we will help you through your ordeal. So, Keith, but I'm with you, bro, because you're right. I mean, I'm looking at the depth chart right now. You got Mike Pouncey and Jake Brendel as the two centers on the team. And really, you can't count on Mike, right? If you look at anyone else who might be able to jump into the center position, Ted Larson, that doesn't excite anybody. Craig Urbick, maybe, that doesn't excite anybody. So, you're absolutely right. I am 100% with you, Keith, on that center position. And the defensive tackle, you got Sue and Phillips, but you do got the two rookies. You got Gotchalk and Vincent Taylor. So I think the Dolphins need to see what they got there, and then Lawrence Okoye as well. So we'll see. And then, of course, Keith, don't forget the Dolphins like to rotate their players along the line. So you'll see Cameron Wake play inside. You'll see William Hayes play inside. You'll see Andre Branch play inside. You'll see Terrence Bidet and Charles Harris inside. So I'm not too concerned about that. But the offensive line, you are absolutely correct. So, Keith, what we do here on Insider Radio, we answer your question. We let you go. We do thank you for calling. Send us a shout-out on Twitter. We'll give you a follow. First-time listener, Keith, thank you for calling. Have a great night. We'll talk to you next week. I'm going to talk Keith through his problems. He was very upset. He needs to go have a massage bar or something.
He was pissed.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to our top five list. All right. Which one of you boys wants to go first? I think I'm going to call on you, Big Papa House, because you are the ranking guru, and you rank lists like no other person can rank in the world. So.
I don't even know what that means.
Just go with it. What I want to hear from you is this. I want to hear your number five guy, your number four guy, and your number three guy. I don't want to hear your number two and number one yet.
All right.
Your five.
So this is all time, correct?
This is all time. From the very first time the Dolphins existed to the time that they're going to be underwater from global warming.
All right, so I'm looking at guys that I wasn't even alive to watch play. But for me, all right, let's start this year. For number five, we'll go with, I guess I'll go with, I hate to do it, but I'm going to go with Zach Thomas. And then at four, I'll go with Larry Zonka, because, I mean, I looked up his stats, and they were just freaking insane. I think it was freaking 53 touchdowns over 8 years with Miami. And I mean, he was a huge part of that, the 72-73 team. So I'm going to go with Zonka there. I know Mark Clayton played a huge role there in Miami. So, I mean, there's a 3, 4, and 5. I mean, they're interchangeable. I'll admit that as much as I'm a guru at ranking, this didn't put that all that much time into it and kind of just winged it as soon as I got on here. So that was the list I made before I came on. I'm going to stick to it. I did want to throw Tannehill and Landry on there just to either get people pissed off or, you know, just to be a wise ass. But I mean, you can't forget Pat White either. He's definitely up there with Cleo Lemon and John Beck. But those are my three right there, 3, 4, and 5.
Who was your three? You broke up when you were talking about your third guy.
Clayton. We'll go with Clayton.
Sir in the soccer dad, how about you? 5, 4, 3.
Okay, 5, 4, 3, and I'm coming from the perspective, and Hout's already mentioned it, I wasn't alive when a lot of the important players in terms of Dolphins tradition played, so I feel a little bit disingenuous including them in my ranking because I don't know what they did or what they brought to the team, although, you know, I respect everything that they brought to this organization. I don't know how they played, so... I'm going to go from the perspective of the players that I had the privilege of watching while I was a child and growing up. So I'm going number five, I'm going Sam Madison. Number four, I'm going Cam Wake. And number three, I'm going Zach Thomas so far.
Okay. So some more modern guys.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with that. All right. So now it's my turn. And I did put some time into this, unlike
me.
Okay, we'll forgive him. He has some stuff going on in his life right now.
I did so, well, though. That wasn't an awful list, was it? I mean,
no, that was a very good list. So here's my 5, 4, 3. My number five guy is Jason Taylor. And when I was ranking my list, I thought about linemen like Larry Little and Kuchenberg, and I said Larry Little and Dwight Stevenson, those guys. But for me, if you're going to be one of the greats of all time, you need to be at a skill position where there are plenty of other options to replace you. And people at the skill positions to consistently produce at a high level, that impresses me more. And nothing against offensive linemen, but I just think it's much harder to succeed over a long period of time in the NFL. Sorry.
Everybody okay?
I thought that was something, honestly.
It wasn't me this time, I swear.
I'm like, damn, dude, okay.
I still have morals.
I'm back. I'm back. All right. I don't know what happened there. Holy crap. For me, you know, a skill position player having an impact over a long period of time is much harder than an offensive lineman. When an offensive lineman and offensive tackle gets drafted in the NFL, you can pretty much tell very quickly if they're going to be a future Hall of Famer, not Hall of Famer, but future All-Pro, future Pro Bowler, and so forth. And they can maintain that consistency. Like, look at Laremy Tunsil. Everyone said, right, oh, he's their tackle for the next 10 years. You don't ever see that with a skill position. You might hear people say that, but no one knows for sure, even Tunsil or any offensive lineman for sure. But the chances of it hitting on those guys are much greater than hitting on skill position players. So Jason Taylor started 184 games for the Dolphins, mainly defensive end, but also moonlighted as an outside linebacker as he went down career. When Jason Taylor entered the NFL, people said that he wasn't big enough and he wasn't going to make it. But he was driven, he was passionate, he had grit. And he collected over 124 sacks for the Miami Dolphins. He recorded over 471 tackles, had over 8 interceptions for 110 yards and 3 touchdowns. The list goes on of the impact that he made during his time with the Miami Dolphins. And the success that he had coming from Akron.
And Akron.
Success that
Acorn.
This guy had
Acorn.
Was absolutely amazing.
Acorn.
Shut up. 48 forced fumbles. 6 of those returned for touchdowns. 8 interceptions. 774 combined tackles. 233 games out of those 233 started 199. Amazing, amazing, amazing. But he's my number 5. My number 4 is Paul Warfield, one of the greatest wide receivers in NFL history. Still holds records for this day, team records for average yards per catch for a season at 25.1 and for his career 21.5. And Warfield is someone who was one of, a favorite target. And he did play for the Cleveland Browns for the first 6 years of his career and the last seasons of his career. But in the middle of his career, he played 60 games for the Dolphins from 1970 to 1974. And I know that might be, oh, well, he only played 4 years for the Dolphins. How can he be the greatest of all time? But he was, right? He was the starting wide receiver for the Dolphins in the 70s dynasty, the early part of it. He caught 156 passes for 3,355 yards. And 35 touchdowns. He was known for his speed, grace, and overall ability. For each of the 5 seasons he played with Miami, he was selected to the Pro Bowl, and of course is a member of the Hall of Fame and plays a decent role with the Dolphins these days. My number 3 guy is Larry Zonka, running back / fullback, Super Bowl 8 MVP, absolutely brutal, tough guy, perhaps one of the greatest fullbacks in the history of the NFL. Now, it doesn't go without controversy because Joe Robbie did not want to pay Zonka market value, which brought Zonka to the World Football League. And some say, and this might hurt a little bit, some say this may have cost the Dolphins another Super Bowl title. They think if Zonka was there another year, they would have won another Super Bowl. Nonetheless, he played for them from 1968 to 1974 and also 1979. He started all 106 games in which he appeared at fullback for the Dolphins. Many people describe him as a brutal ball carrier who preferred to run through would-be tacklers as opposed to going around them. Does that sound familiar? It should, because you have Jay Ajayi who absolutely does the same thing. Zonka rushed 1,506 times for 6,737 yards and 53 touchdowns. And in a time where catching out of the backfield was not a popular thing, he caught 91 of those passes for 688 yards and 4 touchdowns. One described him as the bus before Jerome Bettis was born. He came back when he was 33 years old and had a productive final season, scoring 12 touchdowns on 220 carries for 837 yards. Made the Pro Bowl every season from 1970 to 1974. Comeback Player of the Year in 1979. Inducted into the Hall of Fame in the class of 1987. So those are my top bottom three of the top five. Let's take this one caller on the line. Let's go. We'll then discuss our number two and number one. All right. Area code 954-540. Who are you? What is your name? And why are you calling us tonight on Insider Radio?
Hey.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. First time listener. I was
welcome
website for your articles by that. I'm calling because I'm worried about this whole Jarvis Landry thing. The contract. I think we're playing a little bit of Russian roulette. You know, Booker and Carew still, you know, expect big things from them, but this offense circulates around Landry, and every catch he makes is going to get more expensive. And I just want to know the level of confidence you guys have that they're going to get a deal done, whether it's before the deadline or if it's franchise on or a, you know, a long-term contract. You know, what do you guys, you know, you guys dive in there in regards to retaining him? Because he's 24 years old, and he might have more contract, you know, before he's 30, obviously. So, I mean, he's potential to be really good for a really long time. And the second thing I want to talk about is I don't buy the whole he's an alpha X, not an outside receiver, he's a slur. Because the way he's used on the team, he's as valuable as an Antonio Brown or Dez Bryant or Julio Jones. He has to catch a lot of short passes, but when he's isolated with the linebacker in the middle of the field, like in the Arizona game or the Jets game, and even normal game, he turns small catches into average catches that when you average out, he's up there with the top receivers. So I'm hoping that Miami does the right thing and signs, you know.
All right. We're going to put you on mute. Thank you for calling. We thank you for listening for the first time as well. So you were breaking up a bit there on the phone, and we did get most of what you were saying about Jarvis Landry and the contract situation. And I've been telling everyone who's been listening to this show for the past several months, listen, deadlines spur action. I know there hasn't been much discussion with the Dolphins reps and Jarvis Landry at this time, but deadlines spur action. And there's really no reason for the Dolphins to get moving on the contract right now. And believe it or not, a lot of the Dolphins top execs are on vacation right now, including coaches. This is the time they take vacations, the month of June after the last mini camp or training camp, that they go away, they recharge, because listen, once training camp starts, these guys are going 180 miles per hour from training camp until the end of the season and then some more. Okay. So really it's a time for them to recharge. There's really not much activity going on right now at the office, and we just need to be patient and let that happen. And as far as what you were saying about Landry playing in the slot on the outside, he has shown that he could play outside. He has shown he could play inside. He has shown he can play all over. Whether he can do it on the outside consistently over his 16-game season, and that's all he's playing, maybe we'll never know. But, you know, you can never underestimate the heart and the desire of someone like Jarvis Landry. So thank you for calling Finnsider Radio. We hope you call again next week, and we hope you continue listening. All right, back to our list. Okay, let's talk about now our top two, and certain the soccer dad. We're going to start with you. Go ahead. Actually,
all,
you know what?
Give
me your number two and your number one.
Okay. First of all, I felt like when that dude just called that we were communicating with an alien. Like we had enough information to like assemble the overall message, but it was so broken up, like. That was interesting that we put that all together. And I'll just throw this out there. This might be an unfavorable take on the Landry contract scenario. How is he gonna outperform what he's done already? So I don't see the price tag getting that much higher based on what he does this year. So I think the cautious approach is okay. Anyway. Yeah, that seems reasonable, right? So going back to our list. Number two, I got Jason Taylor, and this is my boy. I mean, like him and Zach Thomas were really what defined my Dolphins childhood. So to see this guy get be a first ballot Hall of Famer, I love his swan dive that he takes across when he scores a touchdown on defense. I just love, you know, you had mentioned earlier, NC Money, about him being undersized and people doubting him. And it's just a great story. He was a great professional on and off the field for us. And I will always have very favorable memories of Jason Taylor. And then number one, I need to speak his name. I met him when I was 5 years old and I've been hooked ever since I met that man. Danny Marino.
Ooh, John Beck. Oh, Dan Marino. Okay. All right. Dan Marino at the number one spot.
That was a shocker.
No surprise there. All right. How to was your number two and your number one?
All right. Well, first, since we're all going to touch on the Landry situation, I looked up the numbers. 15.682 was the franchise tag for receivers in 2016, rather. And I do think, like you touched on, I mean, I think a deal's imminent. There's no way that this team's going to let Jarvis Landry walk in free agency, whether people think he can play outside or inside. I mean, he's a huge asset to this team. He's a big part of what the Dolphins do offensively. Ever since Adam Gase got in here, I mean, they re-signed guys like Andre Branch and a few others. So, I mean, you're going to bring back a defensive end like that who, to be honest, had one great season, and you're going to let one of the better receivers in the NFL walk. I just don't see Miami doing that. I definitely think we'll get a deal done, so everyone just needs to sit tight because Jarvis Landry will be a Miami Dolphin for a very long time. For me, I'm piggybacking on Sutton. This was the list that I had before I came into this. I know I told you I did countless days, countless weeks, countless hours trying to figure out which guys I wanted in here. And I'm going to go with Jason Taylor, number two. I'm not sure there's a more handsome guy that's ever been on the Miami Dolphins. I mean, you can take that however you wish, but Jason Taylor's one handsome mother effer. And he's one of my favorite players. I mean, I grew up with him and Zach Thomas and a few of those other guys. So, I mean, it was a big reason of why I fell in love with the Dolphins. Maybe the teams weren't always great, but I mean, Jason Taylor, he was that one constant. It killed me when he went to Washington, and it killed me when he went to the Jets more than anything, but he ultimately the Miami Dolphin and always will be. And then Danny Marino, I mean, in my opinion, if he was in the NFL today, I mean, everyone can praise Tom Brady, do whatever they want with Tom Brady. Talk about all the rings he had. I mean, you put him on this Miami Dolphins team in 2017 with these weapons he has with Jay Ajayi. I mean, he went through his entire career without a running back. So you give Dan Marino, Jay Ajayi, you give him Devontae Parker, Jarvis Landry, and Kenny Stills. Are you freaking kidding me? Julius Thomas. I mean, I the amount of touchdowns Dan Marino would throw for with this offense, I mean, it would be freaking ridiculous. And he, in my opinion, is the best quarterback of all time. I mean, you can look at what Brady did. He has all the rings. He has all the accolades. But, I mean, Dan Marino, he had the arm. He had the accuracy. And in my opinion, there was never a better quarterback. So, I mean, Dan Marino is my number one, and I love that guy.
All right. And it looks like Houts is a little pumped up right about now about Dan Marino.
Drinking beer, dude.
All right. All right.
So those IPAs and just Dan Marino.
That's all that counts. All right. So my top two. And this might be a surprise to some because none of you mentioned him.
Tannehill.
No, not Tannehill. But Bob Greasy. And I feel like Bob Greasy is overlooked because, one, in the era he played, and two, because shortly after Bob Greasy stepped down as the quarterback for the Dolphins, Dan Marino came along. So when you get a amazing quarterback, and then following in his footsteps just a few years later, one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history, if not the best quarterback in NFL history, despite having no rings. It's hard to remember someone like that. But for all you young whippersnappers out there, like Houts and Sutton, Greasy started 151 games as quarterback for the Dolphins.
And you're younger.
Wait, how old
than
are you?
Me,
are you 40?
Yeah,
50?
And you're younger than me, but go ahead.
I'm 30. He completed 1,926 passes on 3,429 attempts for 25,092 yards and 192 touchdowns. Played in 8 Pro Bowls, and in 1977, he led the league in passer efficiency with a rating of 87.8. Now, Greasy's accomplishments were even more incredible because at the beginning of 1977, he started wearing glasses on the field, revealing that he was legally blind in his right eye. Now, believe it or not, after wearing those glasses, his stats got better. Thanksgiving Day 1977 threw six
those
touchdowns.
Those glasses were sick, by the way.
He threw six touchdowns in three quarters. That's some Madden-level status right there. Okay, Greasy was finally inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1990 after being nominated and not inducted for 4 years. Joe Robbie called Bob Greasy the cornerstone of the franchise. While Greasy didn't have a great arm, listen, neither did Joe Montana. Or Tom Brady doesn't have a good arm either. That dude is a noodle arm. Throw short passes to Edelman all day. Come at me. Brady's a...
you're dumb.
I'm gonna get fired. All right, so Greasy appeared in three straight Super Bowl and has two rings. All he did was win, no matter what. And the Dolphins became,
God.
Did you guys get that?
That was brutal. You had to rehearse, didn't you?
I did. And the Dolphins, during Greasy's time in the NFL, were one of the premier franchises in NFL. But again, Dan Marino's shadow over Greasy's tends to put him down just a bit. And my number one guy, no surprise here. Drum roll, please. All right, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, one of the greatest running backs in Dolphins.
I love that guy.
Had his jersey, played with him in Madden, one of the best ever to the field at Pro Player Stadium and Joe Robbie Stadium.
No,
what an amazing talent.
Not even his parents feel that way.
No, I mean, no surprise here, Dan Marino, right? I mean, there's no argument when it comes to the greatest player in Miami Dolphins history who the number one guy is, and that is Dan Marino. Played for the Dolphins from 1983 to 1999, 242 games. All-time career leader in games played for the Dolphins, 240 out of 242 of which he started. When he retired in 1999, he owned every significant passing record in the NFL. He completed 4,967 passes out of 8,358 attempts for 61,361 yards and 420 touchdowns. Made the Pro Bowl 9 times and was a starter all 9 times. He was the MVP of the NFL in 1984, his second season in the league, when he set records with 5,084 yards and 48 touchdowns. After being severely injured in 1993 with his Achilles, he was voted the NFL's Comeback Player of the Year in 1994 and the Walter Payton Man of the Year in 1999. Inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2005, and yes, I was there with many other Dolphins fans to see him get inducted, and what a great weekend that was. But of course, we cannot forget about Dan Marino's featured role in Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, and his appearance in a Hootie and the Blowfish music video. So Dan Marino
laces out.
Most importantly, he was an Ace Ventura.
A very prominent role with the Dolphins these days. All right, well, I'll tally up these scores of who we ranked. You two attack the line thread and let me know the questions, and please answer them as well. Go ahead.
Man, Sutton, you go first. Unless you're not there yet.
Oh, Houtsy, go ahead.
All right, here we go. Daytona Dolphin. Will Tannehill be used in the quarterback option much this year, or do fears of another injury keeping the pocket, or at least just on rollout? That's a great question. I mean, to me, I've always felt like Tannehill, one of his biggest assets was his speed and his ability to run the football. I mean, you have that added option there where he can either hand the ball to Jay Ajayi, throw the football, or even take off as a legit running threat. So, I mean, for me, I'm not sure that the Dolphins are going to be hindered by that injury. I don't think that Adam Gase is going to be scaled back his play calling. For me, I think even last year the Dolphins kind of dumped down a little bit. I'd like to see Tannehill run the football more. Maybe that's just me. But I think having that added option in the offense just opens things up tremendously. I mean, you watch the film and you see defensive ends or cornerbacks or even outside linebackers just crash down thinking that he's going to hand the football off, and he just takes off for 20, 30 yards. So, I mean, you do think that the fear might be there with that injury, but I'd like to see Miami just continue to run the football with Tannehill.
Yeah, give me a second. My internet connection is a little bit sketchy right now.
All right, well, here you go, son. With Drake showing
go ahead
so much promise, will the running back position be a committee, Williams, Ajayi, Drake, or will Ajayi get the bulk of the carries? You pick that one.
I think that's a good question. I think it's a fair question. I think Ajayi is probably going to get the bulk of the carries, though, assuming health notwithstanding and all that kind of stuff. But I do think they're going to sprinkle Drake in a little bit more than Williams this year. I'm pretty excited with the third down possibilities with Drake at running back, going four wide. It's going to be there's going to be some chess pieces with Gase to play with this year. So I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of sub packages and personnel formations that Gase comes out with this year. All right, I got one. Okay, yeah, I'm not going to read that one.
Alpha got one.
I think you know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah,
Alpha
thought about it.
Alpha asked, who will be handling kickoff returns and punt returns? I'll take kickoff returns. I think you're going to see Drake in that capability for the most part. But I think you'll see Grant and Drake back there, and it really just depends which direction of the field that the kicker kicks to. If we can return it, it just depends on which side of the field that the ball gets kicked to. But we're not going to be able to return very many kickoffs this year.
All right, is that a live thread?
And then punt returns to House.
Yeah, punt returns. Landry. I mean, I know he took him a lot last season. Ideally, you would like to see him not really be back there in punt returns. I know he's a dynamic threat, and you can always take one to the house. But I'd like to see Jakeem Grant back there. I think Drake, like you said, he's going to have a big play in this offense. He's going to be a big pass catching threat out of the backfield. I think Jakeem Grant should take those punt returns. I mean, and that all comes down to whether or not he can hold on to the football. That was a huge issue last season. I mean, I'm still not even sold that he's going to be on the opening day roster if he can't get things together this preseason. So, I mean, the big question marks there for Grant, but I mean, the speed's there. He's a big playmaker. I'd like to see him end up owning that and taking it throughout preseason and becoming the punt returner and, like you said, kick returner. But I mean, that's all up in the air. Drake, he's a safe bet. And then, like we said, Landry, he's always been the punt returner. He's that kind of guy that you can rely on. But ideally, you don't want to see your number two, number one wide receiver taking punts. So, for me, I'd like to see Grant back there.
All right. Anything else?
I think that's it, man.
Yep.
At least the ones that we can talk about.
All right. Real quick, I'm just going to run through these. Actually, no, here's what we're going to do. Let's go about 10 more minutes on the show, okay? And let's figure out our top three to put up on – our top four to put up on the Twitter poll. And then I'll live thread at top list, and I'll answer the Twitter questions for us. So here's what we got. All three of us said Jason Taylor, Marino in some order. And the other two players got at least two of three of us were Zach Thomas from U2 and Larry Zonka from House and myself. Mark Clayton, Sam Madison, Cameron Wake, Paul Warfield, and Bob Greasy only got one out of three. Take those who got these two and, of course, the three. So here's what we're going to do. The ones who got three. Actually, no, here's what we're going to do. We have to decide between us in what order we're going to
put
Jason Taylor, Dan Marino, Zach Thomas, and Larry Zonka. Before we start, I'm going to put it up on the Twitter poll right now, and we're going to see what our people think. And you two start discussing while I pull up. Where can Taylor, Thomas, and Zonka possibly rank behind Dan Marino?
I don't know, but Sutton, I'm probably exactly thinking the same thing you are. I mean, I'll let you go first, but I'm
– okay.
I got
okay, here's what I'm thinking, and I'm going to go from top to bottom. I'll go Marino first. We're going to go Jason Taylor second, Larry Zonka third, and Zach Thomas fourth. Is that what you're thinking?
I was going to go the opposite way, and I think I was going to be biased just based on, I mean, growing up watching Zach Thomas play. I mean, I originally said Zonka. I think I had him at three. I know I had him ahead of Thomas, but for me. I definitely think Marino's one, Taylor's two, and then I'll just agree with you just for the hell of it. I mean, we'll go. I won't agree with you, and I'll leave this up to Kanata. So I'll go Marino, I'll go Taylor, I'll go Thomas, and then I'll go Zonka. So it's up to you, man.
Yeah, it's just tough because we didn't watch Zonka play. So
yeah, exactly.
But we watched
just
Zach
the highlights,
play, so it's,
and highlights look
you
great.
Can
only, you see the stats, and I mean, he's a monster.
Right, and you just hear the stories about what he did while he played,
yep.
And the amount of toughness that he had, and you believe it with all your being.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of tough.
It's like a freaking superhero, like a folktale. You know, it's like just
yeah. Yeah, seriously, how do you go?
So, listen, just repeat that for me. How's your top four?
All right, I'm just different, trying to be different than something, but I'm going to go Marino, Taylor, Thomas, and Zonka.
All right, your top four, Sutton?
And then I'm going Marino, Taylor, Zonka, Thomas.
And I'm going to go, Marino, Zonka, Taylor, Thomas.
So we're just completely screwed.
So if we take the averages, right, we need to come to a consensus. And this is what Mike Tannenbaum does. So right now I'm Mike Tannenbaum, okay? And you're all just peasant scouts. We're going to come to a consensus. Marino's number one.
Zonka 3. Just make Zonka 3.
Marino's number one. The law of averages
over
Taylor would put him 2 divided by 3 is 0.66.
Okay, just stop. I'll tell you what the order is, okay? Save us your algorithms.
Look,
it's Marino, Taylor, and then Zonka. Because me and NC Money both voted Zach Thomas to be fourth, so he's going to be last.
And originally, Houts had Zonka ahead of Thomas. So, I mean, I just kind of changed it up to try to get you guys to freaking – doled out and just really went against that. So.
All right. So the Finn Spider Radio top three Dolphins of all time history, Dan Marino, Jason Taylor, Larry Zonka. Tell us how you feel. Come at
tonight
three. Come
at
tonight.
Can we do the fourth? Can we do the fourth? I feel like letting Zach Thomas out, that's hurtful.
We can't do a fourth.
He is freaking amazing.
Can medals?
Zach Thomas does, yes. He gets whatever the hell he wants.
So Esteban Sabrero, 37 minutes ago, nailed it right on my head. He said Zonka, Taylor, Marino from 3-2-1. So good job, Esteban. You are the man. Let's go to our live. I know we saw some.
Matt will PayPal you. Send us your email. Matt will PayPal you.
Daytona Dolphin says 5, Earl Morrow. 4, Paul Warfield. 3, Jason Taylor. 2, Larry Zonka. 1, Dan Marino. So same top three, a little different order. Daytona says honorable mention is Zach Thomas. 39 is number one, says number five, Dwight Stevenson, then Larry Little, then Jason Taylor, then Dan Marino, number two. And number nine is Larry Zonka. All right.
No. Sorry,
number one is Larry Zonka.
That's just wrong.
Alpha 6 says number 5, A.J. Dewey, number 4, Gary Morris, number 3, Mark Clayton, number 2, Jason Taylor, and Alpha, you are drunk, number 1, and Zach Thomas. Even put Dan Marino on there. Alpha, drunk as F.
Dan Marino should be the logo. Like, his head should just be the freaking.
Yeah, you know, like
Jerry Dolphin, West. Or at least riding a dolphin.
Jerry
like
West.
Jerry
West. Dan Marino should be the dolphin. All right. So, Rob Cruz asked, what's the biggest storyline you're going to see in training camp this year? Rob, there are a few underlying battles going on. There's really no direct competition. But more so number twos and number threes. And I'm interested in the cornerback competition to see how that plays out. I'm also interested in the defensive end position and the linebacker position to see how that plays out. I want to see Raekwon McMillan make some noise and grab hold of a starting spot. I want to see Lawrence Timmons turn some heads. I want to see Xavien Howard stay healthy. I want to see Devontae Parker stay healthy. And I want to see Tony Lippett and Cordell Tankersley really come along as well and push Xavien Howard and Byron Maxwell for that spot on the opposite side, and that nice rotation that the Dolphins can possibly enact there. Okay, let's take a look on our poll right now. Dan Marino running away with the vote, 89%. Jason Taylor with 8%. Zach Thomas with 3%. Larry Zonka, 0%. Brandon F. says, this is a debate, quoting my tweet, calling us out. No, it's not a debate. Okay, it is not a debate. Dan Marino is the number one.
Who was that?
So we just wasted an entire show, right? Just to say that Dan Marino is number one.
Everyone knew that.
We did get our top three, though, which was nice to see. And I'm kind of surprised at the top three. I thought Larry Zonka would be up there. I'm kind of surprised that Jason Taylor ended up at number two just because of the vast history of the team and so many great players. And, I'm happy with that top three. And I will go to war with that top three. And if anyone wants to fight us on it, I will gladly fight them.
Yeah, at me.
Any alley.
Yep. All right. Anything else to add, Sutton and House?
I don't know, but someone just sent us a picture of a kangaroo petting a dog. I'm not even sure what to make of that.
That works.
That's how you end the show right there. What the hell?
Well, hey, just I want to wish you guys good luck with upcoming baby stuff.
You're the guru.
If there's any one true guru or anything at this show, it's me with kids. So at me with your questions. And also want to give out a shout out to my buddy at home, Tom, who had his first child today.
Nice. Tom, you are the man.
Awesome. Way to go, Tom.
You are the man, Tom. Yep.
That's all I got, Brett.
My
Dan
kid
Marino's
is coming.
At 92%.
My kid is coming in about 2 months. So it's getting,
yes.
It's getting real.
And how coming to MetLife? Will they be there at MetLife?
My kid will not be. I will be.
it was worth asking.
I will be. My kid will not. All
how,
right.
How are we going are we going to see you with a baby Bjorn and a little Houts in your pocket?
No, I'm my wife's only due in November. She's due the day that the Dolphins play the Raiders on prime time. So, she'll just be freaking huge for that MetLife game, but I'm not going to miss it and I'll be there. So,
excellent.
Let's whoop that ass and we'll be there.
All right. That is going to do it this night for Finsider Radio. We thank you for joining us each and every week. We'll be back next Tuesday evening with more fun, more intelligent conversation, and more. I don't even know what to say because this show rails every single week. But join us. What's going to come out of our mouths. We'll see you next time. On behalf of Certain the Soccer Dad and Big Papa House, I am MC Money. Take care and have a great one.